You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to make us truly clean. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a little bit of a confession to make. I really, really enjoy showers. You do not. I think a part of it was the culture that I grew up in, making sure that you were clean was a very important thing. And because of that, it kind of sticks in my mind that I need to take a shower in the morning. And you know, showers are just great anyway. You know, it's like the hot water. It's the smell of the soap and the shampoo. It's the time where you're kind of just alone to your thoughts by yourself. It's all of that goodness, all wrapped up into one. And plus, out of that, you get clean. And when you step out of the shower and you dry off and you start putting on your clothes, you know, deep down inside, you're kind of like, I know that I'm clean. I know that I've got that kind of refreshed feeling. And every now and again, I get into a situation, a lot of times when I'm off on a retreat with college students or I'm doing something else, where I have to get up in the morning and I can't take a shower. And for that day, I just kind of walk around feeling the ick. Feeling kind of like, oh man, I didn't take a shower today. I know I'm really not that dirty, but you know, I just kind of feel that way. Just kind of feel like there's something about that. And that sense of the ick, that sense of uncleanness is something that I think helps us to start to dig into our readings for today. And so where we're going to start off is we're going to start off with that sort of obtuse reading from 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking to the people in Corinth, and he's talking to them about their sort of freedoms that they can use. And he starts it off by saying, hey, we know that knowledge puffs up, and knowledge itself is not always a good thing. And what he does is he starts to outline this sort of situation that came up in Corinth. And the situation that seems very, well, sort of foreign to us. It doesn't quite make a whole lot of sense to us. Because what's going on is that Paul is talking about a practice that is happening in the city of Corinth. Now, in the city of Corinth, basically, whenever you went to the butcher shop, you would walk into the butcher shop, and there, where you were looking at your T-bones, and you were looking at your chicken wings, and you were looking at all of the other different kinds of meat. As you looked at those, you would if that was happening today, you would see a little price tag on there, and just under that price tag, you would see which different deity that this had been offered to. Because that was just simply a natural part of how they went about slaughtering meat in Corinth at the time. Then they would bring in an animal and they would kind of decide, okay, this one is going to go to Athena. And this one is going to go to Zeus. And this one is going to go to some other little idol, some other little mythical creature. And because of that, all of the meat that was available had been offered to an idol. And normally speaking, you wouldn't go into something like a butcher shop anyway. Where you would go is you would go into a temple in order to buy that meat. So you would go to Athena's temple, you would go to Zeus's temple, you would go to a different temple in order to pick up your meat for that day. And so Paul is talking about this tricky situation then that comes up for Christians. Because Christians living in Corinth, they're walking in and they're kind of like, hey, I want some meat. Yeah, and they go, well, in order to get some meat, I need to walk into a temple. I need to buy the meat that has been offered to Athena, and then I get to bring it home and prepare it and eat it. And as they're kind of thinking through that process, there's a little bit of an ick factor. There's a little bit of like a, man, you know, I just wish that I didn't have to walk into the temple to get this. Or I just wish I didn't have to know that this had been offered to Zeus. Or I just wish that there was none of that. Because that was the tension that was there in front of them. And so there were different people in Corinth, different people in the church in Corinth. If you read the rest of Corinthians, you find out exactly how different they are. And they're pretty different. And some of them are kind of walking boldly into Athena's temple and saying, hey, give me a porterhouse. Because they know that Athena, well, Athena is just, you know, she's silly. She's made up. She's not a real person. She's not a real god. And so they walk in saying, okay, well, this is what I want. What I want is I want that piece of meat. And because I know that your idol is just totally phony baloney, I want to purchase this, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to eat it. Maybe even eat it in the temple, because that's maybe how things would have worked out. And there are other people that are seeing this, and they're like, oh, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're, you know, that they're sort of trading allegiances? Are they really Christians? Are they sort of trying to do this Christian plus Athena thing? Are they, somehow double agents? How is this working out? Because there's plenty of people in Corinth that are just totally turned off by the idea that this has been offered to an idol. And so as they're kind of trying to work this out, Paul is trying to lead them through kind of an understanding of how they can go about making these decisions. And Paul is saying that the decision should be made in terms of the person who is the sort of weaker brother, the person who, you know, just can't get over kind of that ick factor, the person who wants to take a shower in the morning because they just kind of feel icky the rest of the day unless that happens. Well, you've got that sense of uncleanness, but that sense of uncleanness is not something that we bump into very often. We don't walk into Publix and kind of look at the options for meat and go, well, you know, this one was sacrificed to Buddha. We don't look at another piece of meat and we say, well, this was sacrificed to some other Hindu god. And so we don't have that issue to really get our minds wrapped around. But what we can wrap our minds around is that feeling of being unclean. That feeling of just sort of feeling icky. Like there's something about us that isn't quite right. That there's kind of a film on us. And that was kind of interestingly the feeling that seems to have been there for this man who interrupts Jesus' apparently great sermon in the synagogue on a Sabbath. Because this man walks into the synagogue on a Sabbath morning and Jesus is talking. And as Jesus is talking, he begins to sort of bring attention to himself. And the gospel writer tells us that the reason that he's doing this is that he has a spirit. And what kind of a spirit is it? Well, it's an unclean spirit. You know, interestingly, he could have said evil spirit. He could have even said, he used the word demon. But instead, what he uses is the word unclean spirit. That there's something about this spirit that is kind of filled with sin. It's kind of filled with that ick factor. It's filled with that thing that you feel when you know that you've done something wrong. That you've sinned. That you've fallen short of the glory of God. That this spirit is the spirit of ick. It's the spirit of that feeling that not everything is quite right, that you need to be cleaned. And imagine if that spirit was taking up residence in your body and in your psyche and in your mind. How you would feel. What you'd be looking for. You'd be looking for somebody to clean you. But you'd also maybe be a little bit almost ashamed. A little bit kind of like put off by what's going on. And so we jump then into our Deuteronomy reading, where in our Deuteronomy reading, there's this really kind of interesting moment here. And it's very kind of taken out of its context, but there's this interesting moment where Moses is promising to the people of Israel, hey, there's going to be somebody who's a prophet. And this prophet is going to be somebody who speaks to you the word of God. And the people that are there are kind of saying, yeah, that sounds like a great thing, because you know what? We heard God speak the one time, and that was too much for us. Because they're thinking back to when they were at Sinai, and when they were at Sinai, they heard the voice of God, and how that was overwhelming to them. How that kind of pure voice of God, that clean voice of God, was too much for them. They felt icky when they heard it, because they were in the presence of something that was so clean, so pure, so perfect. And in some ways, that's kind of how we feel sometimes when we're in the presence of God. That we feel like there's something that's too icky about us. That there's something about our sins that we kind of, you know, we shy away. We get shameful. We want to push back from God. And I think that thing inside of us that wants to push back away from God, that thing inside of us that wants us to push away, to not be cleaned, is kind of like that spirit of uncleanliness, that unclean spirit that is crying out to God, what are you doing here? It's not time for our shower. Because certainly the demon kind of knows that there is going to be coming a time for a shower. There is going to be time for something where God is going to clean us out. But that demon wants to keep us out of the shower for as long as possible. And that happens in our lives too, right? Where we get involved in sin, and we know that Jesus is out there and he's offering to us forgiveness, and he's saying that I have this forgiveness to offer to you, to give to you, this cleaning to give to you. And yet there's a piece of us that says, no, I just want to stay dirty for a little bit longer. I'll hold out until Sunday. But the amazing thing is that Jesus' words break into our lives even during the week. That Jesus' words break into our lives and say to those demons, surprise, it's time for a bath. And that's the amazing thing about reading God's word during the week. That's the amazing thing about getting together with other Christians during the week before you have this shower that happens to you here, that you can have little showers when you open up his word, that you can take a look at what he has to say to you in there, and that he comes in and he surprises those unclean spirits and says, it's time to get clean. It's time to feel that feeling of refreshment. It's time to feel what it feels like to know that you're in the right with God. And because you're in the right with God, that you can be in the right with all of the other human beings that are around you, no matter how clean or dirty they are. Because that's what God's cleanliness does to you. That's what the absolution that I just gave to you does to you. That's what the communion will be doing to you as you wash down the internal cleansing solution of his body and blood. And so, yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, It is time for a shower. But just because this is a shower doesn't mean that we can't be showered throughout the week. And so as you go out from this place wrapped in your towel, may you know that God's word will bring you that feeling of refreshment over and over again every time you open it up this week. Because his cleansing is not just for today, but for every day of your life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.